So we're turning to Matthew chapter 26. Our text this evening is the verse 40. And we find within this verse another of the questions asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? The chapter 26 of Matthew's Gospel gives to us one of the great records of our Savior's toil and anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. The work of the cross is just a few hours away, and our Lord in his humanity wrestled with all of that trial would require. Gethsemane is one of the most majestic and yet one of the most mysterious scenes in our Savior's life upon earth. And we find him in the midst of this great struggle, and in the midst of it, he does something rather unusual, almost unbelievable. He's in the middle of praying to his Father. He's in great agony of soul, and yet he stops for a moment. He pauses midst prayer to check on the three disciples that he has brought with. And verse 40 tells us that he cometh unto the disciples, and he finds them to be asleep. Finding them asleep, he asks this question, Could you not watch with me 1 hour? The question really should ring within each of our ears and rouse us from our slumber and our spiritual sleep to a place of excitement and interest in the things of Christ. Because as we examine this scene from the midst of Gethsemane, we are reminded that we too need to be awakened unto the things of the Lord. And so there are three main thoughts that I want to leave with you this afternoon. I want you to notice firstly the Lord's invitation to us, his disciples. The invitation is found in verse 38. Then saith he, that is the Lord Jesus, unto them, the disciples, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that gives this wonderful invitation. Let's remember that we're talking of one who is the eternal Son of God, the all-powerful, the self-sufficient Savior. And at this very moment, he wants to be with his beloved disciples. You notice that he invites them to tarry with him and to pray and to watch with him. You know, in much the same way the Lord Jesus invites you and I into his presence and asks for us to wait and to watch with him. There are two things about this invitation that are worthy of our attention this evening. First of all, he asks them to sit with him. Notice the word tarry. The Savior wants his disciples to tarry with him. It's not a word we use very often, but the word that's translated from the Greek simply means to remain or to dwell, or we get the idea of to abide with him. It speaks of a staying and remaining and waiting with the Savior. The Lord Jesus has asked these disciples to stay and to wait with him. Now the point that I'm hopefully trying to draw your attention to, that he hasn't asked for any action from them or any work from them. He's not asking for a particular labor from them. He simply wants them to sit down and to be still and to stay with him. I think when it comes to a list of words that we would use to describe our spiritual lives, maybe stillness is not one that we would put very high on the list. Yet the Lord asks us to wait and be still. I'm not going to speak to anyone else's problems, but I know that when I'm asked to wait, Well, I can get very impatient very quickly. Get very agitated. I can twiddle my thumbs and pace the room like the best of them anywhere. I can be thinking of a number of things that I could be doing rather than sitting here wasting time. And yet our text is very clear in the command that the Savior gives his disciples in the midst of all of the other things that are happening and all of the important matters that need to be taken care of. The Lord Jesus at this moment invites his disciples simply to sit down and to tarry with him, to spend some time in his presence. It's quite interesting that earlier in the gospel accounts, before the Savior sent his disciples out to the villages to minister in his name, that we're told in Mark chapter 3 in verse 14 that he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Before he ever sent them forth to minister in his name, the first requirement is that they spent time with him. And you and I are no different. We need to spend time in the presence of the Savior. Before we ever attempt to do anything in the Savior's name or to perform any service for the Lord Jesus Christ, we should take time to be with him. We're in a fast-moving society, and we like our fast food Christianity. We want a quick conversation. What the Lord's offering to us is a quiet communion. He wants us to stop in all of our busyness, to sit down, to stop running around and to tarry with him. A few weeks ago we looked at Mary and Martha, those two sisters that the Lord Jesus had befriended along with their brother Lazarus. And the Savior has come to visit them in the home. And it's pointed out to us in the Word of God the great contrast between the two sisters. Martha is in the kitchen, and she's busily trying to put together a meal. And there are pots on the stove, there's pan that's on the fire, there's bread that needs to be turned, there's a table that needs to be set. There's all kinds of busyness going on in her kitchen. And as she looks around, Mary, her sister, is nowhere to be found. She looks and she sees that Mary is seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to him speak. Martha runs in and complains to the Savior, "Do you not care that I'm doing all of these things? Will you send my sister to come and help?" The Lord Jesus very quietly rebukes that while the things that Martha is doing is undoubtedly important, that Mary has chosen the better part, to be found seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be there quietly in his presence, listening to him speak, and simply enjoying being with the Lord. Mary has chosen the better part. That's what I see happening here in verse 38. This invitation given only to a handful of disciples is to come and to spend some intimate time with the Lord, to sit with him. To tarry ye here. And as they're called to sit with him, the Lord is asking them to share with him. Tarry ye here and watch with me. With me. In the Garden of Gethsemane that night, God the Father and God the Son are talking to one another. The Lord Jesus is engaged in earnest prayer. He certainly does not need the disciples to help him as he communes with the Father. He is well able to do this on his own, but do not miss the fact that he invited them to share with him in this historic and heavenly conversation. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He does not require their presence, but he requests it. He invites them to share in this moment of intimacy between the Son and the Father. Unfortunately, sometimes we're prone to think of the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of what he has done for us and what we are doing for him, as if the two are separate issues. And we fail to consider the glorious things, not only what he has done for us and what we are doing for him, but what he would have us to do with him. The Lord invites his disciples to spend time with him, to share with him in the times of prayer and meditation. A personal time, a private time, a time of retreat and communion with the Lord. Tarry ye here and watch with me. What a wonderful invitation the Lord offered to the disciples, just to spend that time with him. But you know, we not only see the Lord's invitation to us, we also see the Lord's indictment of us. Because after the Savior asked the disciples to tarry and to watch with him, you notice what happens in verse 39. The Savior, we're told, goes a little bit further into the garden, that he falls upon his face and he prays. And in the midst of his praying, he comes back to where the disciples are to be found. In verse 40, tells us that he findeth them asleep. In light of where they are and who they are with, it seems almost unbelievable that they should fall asleep at that time. And the Lord is surprised. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? His question seems to point to the fact that they are unaware of the significance of the events that are happening around them. There they are asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus has asked them to remain with him and abide with him and stay awake with him for just 1 hour. This is not like any other night. Within a few moments, the guards led by the traitorous Judas will come and arrest our Savior. They will lead him to trial and to judgment and to his eventual death upon the cross. Had the Savior not reminded them of this occurrence just moments earlier as they sat around the table in the upper room? Surely they recognized the significance of this night. Surely the importance of the hour meant that they should have fought hard to combat the fatigue as they waited with the Savior. But they seemed to be unaware of the significance. As reading a story the other day is of an account that followed the American elections in 1912, and the newly elected president, Woodrow Wilson, went to visit one of his elderly aunts. And she asked him, "Well, what have you been doing with yourself recently, Woodrow?" He says, "Well, I've just been elected." "Oh, that's very nice. Elected to what?" "I've been elected as the president." The president of what, dear?" "The president of the United States." He says, she gave him a strange look and she said, "Don't be silly, dear. Would you like sugar with your tea?" Like the sleeping disciples, so many of us are unaware of the importance of the events that are happening around us. We're unaware of the significance of the one to whom we have given ourselves in service. And the fact that they are unaware of our Savior's trial and struggles in prayer is quite amazing, really. The Lord Jesus has been upon his face agonizing before his Father, struggling with the thought of the cup that is to come before him. And to think that he would pause in the midst of his praying to come to the disciples and to find them not only unaware but unavailable. And they're unavailable because they're unawake. The Savior who has been carrying the heaviest load that any man has ever carried in prayer, and he finds the disciples asleep when he'd asked them to watch with him. Ah, but they're tired. The hour's late. And sleep has overcome them. You know, if you go back to Matthew chapter 17, to the account of our Savior's transfiguration, you'll find that the same men were asleep then too. These were men that had been afforded the greatest privilege of watching the great high priest of heaven as he approaches the Father in the Holy of Holies at the throne of his grace. They have a privilege that no man has ever enjoyed, and they slept through it. And the reason for that is that they have different priorities than what our Savior had. Our Savior's priority was to do the will of his Father. Their priority was simply themselves and their own needs. Now, in their defense, it was quite late. It was after midnight. And I know that at times that sleep can be an escape from the struggles and the troubles of the day. But these men, given all that they've heard and seen and all that the Savior has told them, could they not have remained awake for 1 hour? No matter the excuses that we might make when the Master asks us to watch, we ought to do all that we can not to be falling asleep at our place. I think it simply reminds us that it didn't really believe all the things that the Savior had spoken about. His betrayal, his death. They thought that he was being dramatic. We'll just close our eyes for a moment. There's the Lord's invitation to his disciples to tarry and to watch. There's his indictment of them when he comes back and finds them asleep and asks, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Then we find, finally, thirdly, the Lord's instruction for them. Verse 41, again the Lord says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again the Savior invites them to come apart and to abide with him in this time of personal communion. He indicts them for their sleepiness when they should have been awake, and he instructs them on how to keep their eyes open and their hearts close to him. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. There's a need for caution. If they'd been more attuned to the moment, they would have joined with the Lord in watching and in praying. And they would have been much less likely to have fallen asleep while upon the job. Watch, the Savior said. Be alert. Be awake. Be on your guard and aware of your surroundings. We often act as if there are no dangers and no entrapments. The Lord's words to his blurry-eyed disciples are still of great value today. We still need to be watching. Peter will learn his lesson in due course, and he'll remind us a little later in the scriptures in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have to stop being so casual and start being more cautious. Watch. Watch. There's danger at hand. So the Lord encourages them to be watchful and to be prayerful. Watch and pray. In the time of temptation and trial that's coming your way, you will need spiritual help in that time of test. Little did they realize just how soon that prediction would be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus goes away to pray twice more, and each time he returns, he finds them sleeping. passage then tells us that, well, his disciples are obviously working under different priorities than he is. Their needs are different. The Lord is struggling with spiritual matters and they are thinking only of physical matters. We need to be cautious, to watch and pray, and we need to be conscious because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, the Savior was aware of something that the disciples haven't yet realized. And I'm sure if you had asked them if their desire was to be with the Savior and to watch with him and pray with him and wait with him, they would have said, yes, that's what we want to do. That's our desire. But their desire was not what they actually did. Their spiritual willingness was overpowered by their physical weakness. And their physical desires and their needs became a stronger force in their life than their spiritual desires. Surely there's a lesson there. There's a lesson and a warning for us. We're to be conscious of what our Lord has said, that as long as we live, we will have to wage war against our own flesh. The spirit may indeed be willing, but the flesh is weak. The things that we would even desire to do, spiritually speaking, we're not powerful or capable in and of ourselves. Our bodies will want to do things that are counterproductive to what's beneficial to our spirit. And we may well have good intentions of how we wish to serve the Lord and obey the Lord. But we'll find that while the spirit is willing, the flesh indeed is weak. And there will be strong contentions between the two. And the instruction of our Savior reminds us that we have to be conscious of the fact that our spiritual desires will have to combat and overcome our own physical weaknesses. The lesson from the passage is clear. The Lord Jesus himself achieved victory because he was vigilant and diligent in the place of prayer. He leaned upon his Father, and the Father has given him the victory. The disciples, on the other hand, are leaning upon themselves, and when their time of testing came, they were found asleep and they failed. If we wish to enjoy the victory in our times of temptation and testing, we too must learn to lean upon the Lord and rely upon his power. That we do not stand in our own strength, but in his alone. Because as long as we lean upon ourselves, we are doomed to fail. The scriptures tell us, we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not upon our own understanding. Why? Because we'll only fail. The Lord would still have us tarry with him and watch with him. We don't want to be found asleep when we should be awake. We want to be at our post as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, alert and ready for any danger that's approaching. And we want to watch and pray. We want to be students of the time. And we want to be those who are calling upon the Lord. And we want to be victorious over the very weakness of our own flesh. And may the Lord help us to live righteously in this unrighteous world. And we trust that it will not be said of us that we could not watch with the Lord 1 hour. May the Lord help us to remain vigilant and concerned about the Savior's work. And while others around us may be falling asleep, may we, with the Lord's help, stay awake at our post and carry out the service that he has called upon us to do. And may we do it with his grace and for his glory. And the Lord helping us. Amen.